We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
REO Speedwagon is your artist of the day. What's the lead singer's name? Cronin?
Kevin Cronin.
Kevin Cronin, that's right.
Have you ever heard the talent agency story, how he got his gig with them?
No, because he was their third lead singer.
Yeah, no, this is great, okay? He could not get work, period. And so he put together an advertisement for a talent agency with his phone number on it. And curiously, anytime that someone called the talent agency, he would refer them, you know, I got this guy named Kevin Cronin that you should try.
Oh, no way.
And it was REO Speedwagon that was on the phone one day. That's how he got the audition with them, landed the gig.
And the rest, as they say,
is rock and roll history.
That's right.
You know, you always say, Scott, you have a knack for predicting the stupid, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with it.
I have a knack for predicting actual factual news.
Okay.
And I said this out loud twice last week when this story broke. And I'm not asking you to necessarily feel bad when I tell you about this story, because I know a lot of you are going to say, why do you care? But I'm asking you to think about the ramifications of this decision. So I don't know if you heard, but they are about to farm out a ton of prisoners in the state of Kansas to facilities in Arizona. There's staffing shortages here. There's overpopulation here. I guess they've got more prisons in Arizona than we have here. So they are about to take a ton of Kansas prisoners, put them on an airplane?
Okay. Well,
I assume? Is like Aircon, like Con Air? And ship them to Arizona. And what did I say to you last week, Scott?
This is going to be unconstitutional. They have to have a right to stay in the state of Kansas.
From the Kansas City Star this afternoon. I wonder if they're spying on me. I will read you the headline. It says, families of Kansas inmates fear losing touch if their loved ones are sent to Arizona prisons. And in the story, they profile a mother. Sweet Leodie Masterson makes the trip to El Dorado every weekend to see her son. As Kansas prepares to send hundreds of inmates to a private prison in Arizona, the families of the inmates are worried that the time that they have with their loved ones will be taken away. Quoting here from Masterson, it is hard for me to even comprehend that I will no longer be able to see my son on a weekly basis. Again, I'm not asking you to feel bad for the inmates. I am not. But we are taking away the ability of the children of these inmates to see their dads.
Or moms.
And I don't feel like that's right.
Well, but if you're convicted in the federal system, they'll send you to any state that has a prison. And they don't care if you're from Washington State and you get sent to Colorado.
I'll give you another one. If you are sent to a women's correctional facility, there are far fewer of those in the United States than there are male facilities. So if you are a woman and you are sent to prison, you could be 5, 7, 8 hours away from your family, depending on where you committed that crime. Mm. Taking these inmates to Arizona, I don't really have any feeling one way or another for the inmate. I do think it makes me feel uncomfortable to tell, like, a six-year-old child, you are not going to see your mom or dad for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the facility in Arizona is going to be private.
I imagine.
It's probably Arizona is not going to eat the cost of housing a bunch of Kansas inmates. I've always struggled with the idea of private prisons.
Researchers say in-person visits have a positive effect on inmates. Most notably, studies have shown inmates who receive more visits are less likely to commit crimes when they get out. Now, listen to this quote. It feels like a lottery. We don't know whether it's going to be your person or not that is sent to Arizona. And the fear is huge. This is a woman whose husband and son are both serving time for burglary and robbery in El Dorado. She asked that her name not be used. Kansas is going to send 360 inmates to Arizona by the end of the year.
Do you want to guess what the reaction on the text line is so far?
They don't care.
That's exactly right.
You've got to flip this around and make it about the families. They have done nothing wrong. Her name's Leota, for God's sakes. I guarantee you she's never broken a law. She's probably 86 years old, goes to church every day.
Probably never driven.
I'm not comfortable with the thought that the byproduct of these inmates' bad decisions are going to affect even further, especially the kids.
Well, but let me ask you this, though, Dana, and we'll just use the map here on the board, okay?
Yeah.
You live in far western Kansas,
yep.
All right?
Yep.
Think St. Francis or...
Goodland.
Goodland, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You commit a serious crime.
Yep, you're not going to prison in Goodland.
No, I would bet the closest is... What would you say, Will? Maybe there's a prison in... Here, I don't even know.
Wichita, maybe.
El Dorado?
Norton. Norton, Kansas has one.
They have a state-run prison.
Yes.
Where the hell's Norton, Kansas?
It is along Highway 36 up in the northwestern part. Not northwest corner, but like think north of Hayes.
Okay. I mean, what are you going to do with people who commit crimes in far-off places that are still far away where it makes seeing your son or your father or your daughter or whatever not impossible, but not easy?
If they're in Kansas, you can still get to see them in the course of a day. If they're in Arizona, you cannot do that.
And here's a good question. How are they going to decide which inmates go and which inmates stay? It's going to cost the state millions of dollars, by the way, to do this, but they say there's no other option. How do they decide?
They can't use all this money to hire new guards or expand prisons.
Are we going to send just the worst of the worst to Arizona? Is it alphabetical? Is it by time left on sentence?
You're not going to send somebody down there who's got 6 months left.
Right.
Because then you have to fly them right back. Too bad, so sad. Can't do the time, don't commit the crime. That's what a majority of the texts are saying.
But the families have done nothing wrong.
I know. 576-7798. Do we need to provide gauze for both of your bleeding hearts? Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't have anyone in prison in my family. It's the child aspect of the story that bothers me.
576-7798, 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. Sam Stevie, Will Starrett, Dana Radom, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Walking through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock.
Let's get to the phones. Dawn in Basser. Dawn, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well,
hi.
We're doing quite well, thanks.
Hey, I do feel bad for the children and the family of the prisoners. However, my son is 20 years old and an F-18 mechanic in the U.S. Navy, and he's been deployed, and I don't see him for well over a year.
It's been over a year, Dawn?
Since you've heard from him?
No, I can talk to him every now and then, but he's in the Middle East, so I won't see him for, I don't know when I'll see him, it'll be at least 2020, so, you know, I don't feel bad for the families of the prisoners, but, you know, we have military there, gone for a long stint at a time, several times through a deployment, like a neighbor of mine is in the Army. it's a, an Apache pilot, has four daughters, and he'll be deployed again, so...
Okay.
It's a fair point. From the text line, I dealt with this in a similar way. My son at the time lived in Florida, still does, and living here, I could not get there to see him. They would allow calls from time to time. If you did visit, it was a maximum of 2 hours per, and I was not paying for a plane ticket, only to be told I could only see him for 2 hours. They refused to budge on that rule. Fortunately, he is now out with a job and a family.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. We're talking about this. It is still a proposal, is it not?
No, I think
or is it
I think
in the works?
They're doing it.
Okay.
They're trying to figure out who, out of all of the prisoners in Kansas, which ones are going to be shipped to Arizona and which ones are going to stay, and that's up in the air right now.
576-7798. Matt in Riverside. Matt, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You love our show.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a a la carte Catholic, a credit card Catholic, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that always stuck out with me from all the church school stuff we do were the works of mercy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. You have the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And one of the corporal works of mercy is to visit or parole the imprisoned. So... they need 360 beds freed up because they don't have enough room in the state of Kansas. I'm sure in the state of Kansas there are 360 inmates right now that are nonviolent offenders, possibly even offenders of a, dare I say, victimless crime.
Okay.
I'm thinking drug charges.
Yeah, low-level marijuana charges, that kind of thing.
Right. Why not, you know, knock out a couple of birds with one stone, you know, free up some beds and those prisons for the violent offenders, show some state-level mercy from our government, and then, you know, not spend millions upon millions upon millions of tax dollars to keep people imprisoned in another state.
It's going to be very costly, Matt. It is going to be very costly to move them to Arizona, and I like your idea. I would ask again, though, who gets to decide? There would have to be some type of panel...
It wouldn't be easy.
Where you look at, however many thousands of men and women we have in the system.
Well, we already have them. They're called parole boards.
And someone would have to decide in mass, we are going to release 600 of them.
Well, the governor has that power. If we're talking about state prisoners,
yeah.
The governor has that power with the, you know, the turn of her pen. You know, she can pardon 360 people. But who gets to choose? That's the question.
You know, that's an interesting point that you bring up, Matt, is that the governor, who is a Democrat, Laura Kelly, has the authority, has the power to just simply say, okay, Scott Parks is in jail for, you know, weed, possession of weed, et cetera, et cetera. He's pardoned. Send him home. Let's clear out one more bed. Dana writes in for, you know.
Writing bad checks.
Yeah. Let's let her out. This is stupid. Why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't she do it? Was she afraid she's going to lose the conservative vote? The tough crime vote?
The corporal works of mercy are a Catholic tenant.
Matt, thank you for the call. Inmates with significant medical needs are unlikely candidates for transfer.
Obviously.
Visitation also will come into play. Ideally, those prisoners who are getting regular visits from family members, if everything else pans out, we can keep them here in Kansas. But we will look at those and other factors. So if you already have visitors routinely... mm-hmm. You kind of get a gold star by your name, but if no one is coming to see you,
bye.
You bump up that list to go to Arizona.
Let's go to Sarah in Leavenworth, a town that knows a thing or two about prisons. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, I will try to get through this without crying. I have been involved with multiple, I wouldn't say friends, started out with my brother, and then I have just honestly moved forward to several people that I know that are currently incarcerated, have been incarcerated. This is the family is the only way these men are going to be able to get out and they're going to be able to do what they're supposed to be doing. There are a group of us that are about 40 women that support brothers, husbands, friends that get together, and we're trying really hard to do whatever it is we can to stop this. One of the main things that the governor ran on was going to be her prison reform and the sentencing reform, and this is just the opposite. These families have to stay together. And there are men that do things, that things happen. Truth be told, every single one of us has done something that could potentially wind us there. I just haven't been caught. You just haven't been caught. And those that are being negative against everything that's going on and bad things to say about it, I pray you are never in the situation that we are in and having to support them, because it is the most unbelievable hell I've experienced in my entire life.
Sarah, do you know when you'll find out whether your, is it your brother? Do you know when you'll find out whether he stays or goes?
My brother's actually been, he has been released 3 years ago and is doing amazing. I have other friends that are in those since then. We are told that we will be told when they are moved.
Oh, you won't even know in advance?
No, no, because of security reasons.
Hmm. All right, do appreciate the call. And yes, you did get through without crying. Do appreciate the call. 576-7798.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down.
So if you're listening and you don't care about this story and it makes you angry, I will tell you this. Visits from family for our American prisoners reduce the risk of being reconvicted of a felony by 13%. More frequent, more recent visits are also directly correlated, Scott, with less recidivism. So the visits are important. State of Kansas is about to, in effect, take that away for about 600 inmates. I know some of you could not care less, unless you are one of these families, or unless you really think about this through the prism of what it does to people who have done absolutely nothing wrong.
Stephen Gardner, and then we'll get to the Chiefs here in just a minute. Steve, hello.
Hey, boy, that was a long-winded break, guys. so now I actually got a couple points, and I thought... this is why I called in. You know, we have a moral obligation, one, yes, to punish people who have done wrong.
Okay.
But we also, on the backside of that, have a moral obligation to make sure that they are successful. And that means a support system pre-incarceration, incarcerated, and post-incarceration, like the statistics Dana just stated. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is, in the 90s, and I think you guys touched on this the other day, there was a boom of sorts of building new prisons and private prisons and facilities, what have you.
Definitely private prisons, yeah.
Right, and it became a cash cow. And like you guys were saying as well, there's a 20 or 25-year, you know, retire out kind of thing.
Yeah.
The problem with that is now it's not necessarily that we have a shortage of corrections officers, if you will, because they don't like to be called guards. You know, if you look back probably late 70s, early 80s during the Reagan administration, and, you know, we had an incredible increase in the incarceration rate. So it's not that we necessarily have a problem with guards or guard shortages or anything like that, but you had another argument that also made a very good point as well. Nonviolent offenders, unless they are so repetitive with what they do, or like he said there, he say victimless crimes, you know, those people don't belong behind bars, you know? I mean, and it's ridiculous for them to even be there to start with. So you do all of those things in cooperation, you probably reduce that prison population. I would bet just driving down the road off the cuff, probably no less than 30 to 40% right out the gate.
Well, here's the problem with that, though, Steve, is the people who would make these sorts of decisions are politicians.
Right.
And if you dare to suggest, well, you know, I'm all for letting people out of prison or not even putting them in prison for, quote, end quote, victimless crimes or for drug offenses that don't include, you know, trying to get 800 pounds of weed from here to there.
Right.
Then you will likely be labeled as soft on crime.
Right. And I've got a point to make on that as well. You know, when these guys run for office, you know, they are not there, and it was never the intention once you are elected to build a political career of sorts. You are to go there, do what you think is right by the people who put you there, and if you know what, if it ends up being labeled political suicide and you don't get reelected again, at least you have a conscience where you can sleep at night where
Amen.
You did what was right.
Amen.
I'm sorry?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. A political career, even George Washington said, is not something that was ever intended by anybody to ever run for office. So,
Steve, it's a good call. Thank you for it.
Yeah, that is a good call. Melinda in Oskaloosa, and then we're going to move on to the Chiefs. Melinda, hello. Go.
Hey, how are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I'm kind of from the other side of the tracks here. I am a social worker, and I worked in prison for 10 years.
And while it is important for the inmate, and that's kind of the topic today, somebody needs to stop and take a look at what it does to a kid to go see their parent in prison. It's absolutely traumatizing. It's horrific. And it takes a lot of recovery work when that happens.
Do you think it's better for the child to not have any contact with the parent, Melinda, to shield them from the reality of prison life?
I'm not saying necessarily to not have contact or shield them, but not to pretend like everything is okay, because it isn't. And so we get this visit, and the kid comes, and the dad does this, or the mom does this, and we have this two-hour wonderful time. But the reality of it is this kid leaves, doesn't understand, they're all alone, and everybody's going, oh, everything's okay. Well, it really isn't okay.
Yeah.
And so if we would focus more on that and how to help those kids recover and help them understand how mom and dad made these bad decisions and how we don't do this again, I think we could go a lot further.
Yeah, I often wonder who, when we talk about stories like this, who benefits from the bring the kid to the prison to see dad?
Right.
Is that for dad's benefit or the kid's benefit? And I would bet it's for dad's. Because dad misses his son or daughter and really, really wants to see them. And I understand that, you know. But you could certainly make the case.
Sure.
That taking a kid into a prison setting is not good for the kid.
Does more damage than just.
All right. So the Kansas City Chiefs began selling the what's left of the good seating that they took out of the stadium
and then chucked
to fans
over
this morning.
The side.
They removed more than 32,000 seats from Arrowhead Stadium. 30,000 plus were not fit for reuse because
they were just chucking them over the top. The top level.
Mm-hmm.
They were smashed to smithereens.
Says here, many were damaged. A lot of the brackets from one section didn't fit with the others, according to Rob Yagman. The sale was to begin at 6 o'clock this morning when the website arrowheadseatsale.com was scheduled to go live. People who live outside of Jackson County can buy or can begin buying single and double seat units beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Do you see how silly this is, Scott, that they tossed all of them overboard, right? Mm-hmm. Damaging most of them. Then they had to take what could be salvaged, ship those out of state to a company that would restore them. They will then be shipped back from that vendor to you, which is why the cost has gone so high.
The cost for a single seat without a logo on it is $277. For a seat with a logo on end caps, it is $509 for a pair.
Meaning if it's an outside seat on the very end of the aisle, it'll have the Arrowhead on it. If it's an interior seat, it's not going to have anything on it.
Yep. Don't the Chiefs make enough money
off of us? It's $500, though, Scott. You understand what I'm saying? Because they had to ship those out of state. They were so damaged. They had to ship them somewhere to some company in, does it say there? It was some Illinois or something to restore them.
The vendor is Schneider Industries.
A lot of times what's done in those isn't so much that they're so damaged in removal. It's a case of touching up the paint on them, cleaning them up,
These were damaged in removal because they flung them over the top.
Well, my understanding was those were the ones that were just deemed not fit for
wait
sale.
Wait a minute. The story goes on to suggest that maybe it's the county, Jackson County, that is going to make the money here. Because the story reads near the end, however, the team had intended to sell some of the seats that survived the demolition process to its fans. Before that could happen, the county intervened, Jackson County, asserting that taxpayers, not the Chiefs, owned the seating and nearly everything else inside Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadiums.
I think they're going to split the proceeds with the vendor, Scott.
This summer, the county hired Schneider Industries to make as many seats as possible ready for resale by reassembling the... So I take back my comment about the Chiefs there. Under the agreement, Schneider guaranteed the county $75,000 up front to cover the county's cost of hauling the seating components out of the Arrowhead parking lot and storing them until a resale plan was hatched.
So short-sighted. Like, they could have avoided a lot of that. A lot of the cost that is involved here could have been avoided.
Now, who paid for the seating upgrade? Did the Chiefs pay for that or did the county? Because if the county owns the stadium, which it does, shouldn't they have to pay for the seating upgrade?
Would you pay $500?
No.
For one of those seats?
To where would I put it?
I don't know.
Who's going to go, gosh, dang it, I'm getting ready to watch the game. Do I sit on my comfy, cushiony couch or that rock-hard plastic seat that I bought from Arrowhead?
The people that wanted them wanted very specific seats, like the young woman who called in.
Wanted her dad's seat.
She wanted her dad's seat. Good luck finding seat number 211 in that tangled pile of crap. Mm-hmm. There's no way she's ever going to get that seat.
Couldn't they just make a gold plaque with 211 on it
and
put it in place of the
old
plaque?
But it was nostalgic for her. She wanted her dad's season seat.
Yeah, I can understand that. And he had just recently died, not like, two, 3 years ago.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. 576-7798. So they're selling, and by they, I guess Jackson County and their vendor, Schneider Industries, are selling these seats. There's only 2,500 out of more than 30,000 that are even usable, fit for resale, I guess is the better term. $500 for a pair? For plastic? No thanks. 576-7798. 576-7798. Yeah, we got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. And that, my friends, is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Just to put a little exclamation point on the end of the conversation about the Chiefs seats, someone just wrote in, if you want them, just wait. That price will come down because there are not that many people that are going to pay $500 for one of those broken seats, restored, formerly broken seats. And then someone else wrote in and said, not to mention, have you seen how those seats bolt down? Who in their house would have a way to facilitate that type of chair? You would need a handyman with a special device to get those things bolted securely into either a basement floor with a concrete base, or I would not put that in a hardwood floor, but...
Oh, hell no.
Most people that I've seen that have those have them basically put on a piece of wood,
like
mounted to it. Yeah, basically as a base, and then they put it on the wall. They don't even bother attaching it to the floor. Because you're right, they anchor at the bottom of the seat. They anchor against an upright portion of the stadium. They don't actually hook into the floor. They hook in behind it.
Huh? Yeah, that's too much trouble for me.
Okay.
Real quick, according to a new study from the job search company Monster, 8 out of 10 of you have cried at work.
You have.
Which means the other two are either lying or waiting to have their existential crisis in the parking lot. Why are so many darkened conference rooms being stained with the secret tears of a disconsolate workforce? They pulled 3,000 workers, 45% admitted crying, most of them because of their bosses or their coworkers.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever cried here? Well, you cried at Channel 5. You had that one boss who was just awful.
Trying to remember. I don't know that this study, like, let's say you get a phone call with horrible news and you are very upset. I don't think that's what this study is talking about.
Are you saying crying at work because of work?
I think this is crying at work because of work.
I've cried here because of somebody we were, like when young Alexander was here the first time, even the second time.
Yeah.
That kid gets me. And when he starts talking and, you know, he's so full of hope and positivity, even though he is facing just a mountain in his life. I'll tell you what got me the last time he was here a couple, 3 weeks ago, was he was sitting in that chair right there. And he looked at me and he said, I just want to be a normal kid. I was like, okay, I'm out.
You cried too when Tim O'Brien of The Things They Carried was in studio.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Talking about the Vietnam War.
Wow, that was a long time ago. How do you remember was. That?
Have you read that?
Because I remember giving you a hug in the hallway.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Saying I love you, and you didn't say it back.
Well, I love you. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
And then Will cried.
Did you yeah. do that? Make
and then
cry?
I cried in the hallway, so there you go.
Sam, have you cried at work yet?
Yeah, when our old news director left. But that's because everybody else was crying. And when I watch people cry, I cry no matter
I don't
what.
Care when Kara left, yeah. First of all, she couldn't get through a damn sentence. She was
Oh,
sobbing.
She was. Yes. Yes.
And so then, yeah, we were all crying.
And I hand her that cake and she looked me square in the eyes and her eyes were full of tears. And man, I just lost it.
God. Tell the good people what the cake said.
I don't remember.
I bought it. I remember
said,
what it said.
You suck. Please don't leave.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Nice.
She kind of laughed through her crying. Yeah, that was probably the last time we all had a good cry. But like, I haven't cried here because of bullying or my coworkers.
We should have recorded or saved, if we did record it, I wouldn't know where to find it, her last ever newscast at that 5:30 break.
Oh.
Where she got to the end and she goes,
Boxer.
She goes, I'm Kara Boxer. And I'm like, come on, get it out.
You're so close.
You can do it.
You can cross the finish line, Kara.
And then Scott made fun of me for crying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what Scott's here for, is to be so supportive of everyone in their hour of grief.
I cry, that's you're exact, right, Scott, exactly right. With stories that make me cry.
Mm-hmm.
Or with the interview subjects who make me cry. That's and when that's I cry.
It's easy to do, because especially if they're in here.
Oh, if they're here.
And you can see them and... You know, they're going through a tough spot in life, whatever it may be. Alexander, obviously, with that young man, it's cancer.
Now listen to this. This is really disturbing. 14% of the workers in the study say they cry at least once a week and sometimes every day. Look.
Right. New job time.
Yeah.
If you are going to work and it is so upsetting to you that you are crying once a week or every day.
Yeah. You might want to find
you got to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no bueno. That is no good.
I'd say once a month there's a problem. Yeah, that is not
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-mm. All right, we're going to do Festivus Friday coming up right after the 5 o'clock news, so get in early. There are two ways to do this. You can either call in at 576-7798. Of course, that's the preferred way. 576-7798, or if you don't feel comfortable going on the air or the phone lines are all jammed and you can't get in but you want us to hear your grievance, you can always text it in to 22980. So 576-7798 or 22980 on the text line. Festivus Friday is coming up next. Get in early. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.